May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today Jesus has some hard words for us to hear. Hashtag blessed aside. I've said before that Jesus is always loving, but that he is not always nice. And this might seem like one of those times this morning, one of those times when Jesus doesn't seem particularly nice, and we might wonder just what he means and what he's up to. Now, a few things have happened in our story, so to speak, since last Sunday's reading, when Jesus called the disciples from their boats to follow him and catch people. Together, they have traveled around the land, performing miracles and healings, casting out disease, teaching, and generally angering the religious leaders. So now they come down from a time of meditation and prayer up in the mountains, down to a level place. And people are waiting for them. They have come from all over. That's what that list of different cities there is about. The author wants us to know people have come from all over to hear Jesus, to see him, to touch him, because they've heard what he can do, and they want a piece of that. And they aren't disappointed. Unclean spirits are cast out, and power goes out of him to heal all of them. They aren't disappointed, at least, until Jesus starts talking. Isn't that just like Jesus to ruin a perfectly good miracle or healing with some teaching that really ticks us off? Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, you will be filled. Blessed are you who are weeping and grieving, you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, revile you, defame you. Rejoice at that and be glad." Jesus' teaching might sound a little off to those listening to him that day, and it sounds a little off to me too. It doesn't seem to take into consideration just how dark some of these people's circumstances are. Those who are poor in Jesus' audience that day are likely desperately poor, never to know anything other than poverty in their lives. There's no such thing as upward mobility in ancient Israel. And those who are hungry could well be near starving. And those who will be persecuted for his sake will not just be made fun of or left out of the cool group. Many of them will be martyred for their faith, killed in gruesome ways. And what's more, in Jesus' day, the state of being hungry or sad or ill, for that matter, well, it's considered a state of shame, a situation that you yourself are to blame for. There's no such thing as happenstance. If you don't have what you need, then it's your own darn fault. One way or another, you've brought it on yourself. And yet, Jesus' advice to them is to be glad. He tells them that they're blessed. His promise to them of some sort of future hope where they will be filled or they will laugh, it sounds somewhat thin to me, because really, Jesus, what good is a future hope if you're starving today? Why not multiply some loaves here, Jesus? We know you can. Why not use your power to lift up those who are poor? This sounds a little insensitive, and it doesn't sound much like good news to me. And the woes aren't any better, especially when we consider that those of us gathered here this morning might be the recipients of some of those woes. Woe to you who are rich, you have received what you're going to get. Woe to you who are full, you will learn what hunger means. Woe to you who are laughing, because you're going to be given a reason to cry. And woe to you when others speak well of you, for that's what the people did to the false prophets, and we know what God thinks of those jerks. Even if some of us gathered here this morning have known hunger before, we have also known what a good feeling it is to be full, to be satisfied, to not have to worry, maybe, where your next meal is coming from. That alone makes us richer than most of the rest of the world's population. Perhaps we don't have to be concerned about how to pay the bills, or perhaps we get to hear others speak well of us and compliment our work. Do those experiences, does having those comforts mean that we're cursed now? That just because things have gone well for us, now we're going to know the woes? It seems like one cannot win in this teaching from Jesus this morning. If you don't have what you need, just set your sight on some future hope and be happy. And if you do have what you need, well, just wait. You'll see. Today, Jesus has some hard words for us to hear. The prophet Jeremiah, ironically, might have some hope to offer. Jeremiah is often a gloom and doom sort of prophet, called to serve God at a difficult time in history, to say the least. But today, Jeremiah also offers us a peaceful image, an image of trees. Can't you just picture this as you hear it? Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Plants can get stressed. Did you know that? Plants can get stressed out. I think any good gardener or farmer or conservationist probably knows that. Plants react to their environment. Too little water or too much, drought or heat or freezing temperatures, it can cause plants stress. And such environmental changes actually trigger hormonal changes in plants that make them react in various ways. Now, people can get stressed too. Did you know that? Did you know that people can get stressed? I bet you all knew that. Well, having too little, like those people described in the first half of Jesus' teaching today, that's one thing that can cause stress. Too little money, too little food, too little joy or comfort. But having more than you need, like those perhaps in the second half of Jesus' teaching this morning, that doesn't necessarily make you less stressed. In fact, a study conducted in 2012 discovered that as people increase their annual household income up to $50,000, they did report an increase in happiness. But after $50,000 annual household income, there was no measurable increase in happiness with an increase in salary. $50,000, that's it, annual household, that was the cutoff in the United States. More did not mean happier. Maybe this hard thing that Jesus has to tell us today isn't his blessing or his curse to give. Maybe this hard thing that Jesus has to say to us today is actually just Jesus telling it like it is. If you have too little, your hope is in a better future, a better future that God alone can provide for you. Because the ways of the world are hard. If you have too much, the things that you're relying on are temporary, and they could all be gone in a flash. They don't bring lasting happiness or true blessing. Jeremiah tells us that being blessed is not about being favored by God. To be blessed is to be, that other word I said with the kids, satisfied. And people who trust in the Lord, regardless of their circumstance, are satisfied like trees planted by streams. Their trust is in the Lord. Their reliance on God will continue to water them throughout any drought or disease or stress. They will flourish even in the most difficult circumstances. They will live. The good news in this teaching is that the early followers of Jesus will figure out how to live like those trees. Following in the footsteps of Jesus, the early Christians will find ways to be both blessed in their struggles and to avoid the woes he describes. watered like Jeremiah's trees, watered by their faith and their trust in God, Jesus' early followers can endure times of poverty, hunger, weeping, and persecution. There is a future hope for them too. But trust in God can leave them satisfied even in the midst of the most difficult times. Yet that promise of food and laughter and belonging that Jesus gives isn't an empty promise for here and now. It's not only for some future hope or a faith that leaves you satisfied. It's also a promise about the literal fulfilling of real needs, needs that the early Christian community filled for one another. We know from the book of Acts that the early followers of Jesus came to share everything that they had in common. They pooled all of their resources. Those who had enough or more than enough learned the joy in giving to others. They avoided the temptation of relying too much on their wealth or their earthly possessions by giving away enough so that they were no longer wealthy. And in that community, no one was left hungry or wanting or poor. What can we learn from this teaching of Jesus and from this example of the early Christians? How might we live as trees planted by streams of water? What waters your faith and your trust in God? Can you plant yourself in that? In times of stress and suffering, how might you learn to better rely on others whom God has put in your community to help relieve your hardship? In times of having enough, how might we share what we have in order to avoid the woe of having too much, in order to avoid the woe of relying on the things of this world instead of God, in order to learn the joy of giving to others? The good news of Jesus today is not that God will bless us or God won't curse us. The good news of Jesus today is that whether our life seems like a blessing or a curse, there is a way to be satisfied in the midst of it all by being planted in the stream of faith and trust and love of a gracious God who has come to be with us in all the blessings and in all the woes of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.